First Kings chapter 3. Let's look at verse 5, and we're going to talk about wisdom in the church. I think that's an important thing, wisdom in the church. First Kings chapter 3, starting with verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, "Ask, what shall I give to you?" Ooh, ooh, ooh. Does anybody know? Ooh, ooh. What did he ask for? Uh-huh. Let's just read on then. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be counted or numbered. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So, when did Solomon say, "Give me wisdom"? Interesting, isn't it? He did say understanding, but he didn't actually say, "Give me wisdom." Now, in a roundabout way, I guess he did. But what God was giving him and what he was seeking from God, to me, has more to do with why he needs what he needs, why he needs wisdom and understanding. Why was more important than what? And I think sometimes the way we read this and some of us preachers teach this, it's almost like the what is more important than the why. Does that make sense to anybody besides me? Because I was looking at it, Solomon wanted what he wanted so that he could do well with God's kingdom, with God's people, with what God had done. It wasn't about him wanting intelligence or understanding and wisdom and all the things. You know, he wasn't looking for smarts just so he could be smart. And sometimes I think when we read this, we want more wisdom, but sometimes our motive for the wisdom is not necessarily as completely selfless as Solomon's. The way he describes himself as a little child who doesn't even know how to go in and come out. He really was humble before the Lord and really recognizing his lack. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. Sometimes we want wisdom because it would be really cool to be wise. But do we really need, and what do we really need in the way of wisdom to fulfill what God has given us for our lives? I don't think most of us are going to be called to rule over God's people like King Solomon. In fact, in the dispensation and time in which we live, none of us is probably going to be called to rule like Solomon. So I think we miss this sometimes. Do we want wisdom because it would be really cool, or do we want it because we need it to fulfill what God wants to fulfill in our lives and bring us into his purpose and bring honor to God? That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to give you wisdom and let you use it for everything else. Do you know that Solomon used his wisdom not only to rule well, but to do amazing things? So much so that people looked at everything that went on in his kingdom and they were amazed with just the simple but sometimes very complex but incredible things that he was able to accomplish. Verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise, there's the word that we usually pick up the wisdom from, a wise and understanding heart. Everybody say heart. Isn't that interesting too? The wise and understanding thing that God gave to him wasn't so much up here as it was here. That's amazing to think about, isn't it? A wise and understanding heart. So that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have given you, also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So the key to everything was one thing. And what was that one thing? What we usually say, wisdom, but it was the kingdom. It was a heart for the kingdom. Now, this kingdom heart that Solomon had that caused God to pour out on him abundantly. What if I told you that God made me the same offer when I was a young man? Maybe I should put it into words that maybe are more exactly what he said to me. Let me share with you exactly what he said to me. I wrote it down here. He said, Tim, seek first the kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Oh, yeah. Did he say that to me in a dream? No. Did he come into my room? No. But did he put it in his word for me? Yes. Did he put it in his word for anybody else? Yes. Yes, yes, he did. He made that promise to all of us. So here it is, Matthew 6:31 through 33 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or how will we pay for gas? Or how shall we pay for eggs, which are up 33%? Or For after all these things, the heathen, you know, some versions say heathen, some say Gentiles, some say Republicans, some say Democrats, I don't know. For all these things the heathen seek, for your heavenly Father is really confused and has no idea what to do. Oh, it doesn't read that way, does it? For your heavenly Father knows that you need, everybody say need all these things. Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You do. You need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's the kind of the same deal that he was making with Solomon. Solomon was seeking first the things of God, and as a result of seeking first the things of God, God said, I'm just going to load up on you. I'm just going to bless you. I'm just going to pour out all the other stuff too. You're going to get it. Now you may be thinking, well, needs are a lot different than what Solomon had. Solomon had beyond his needs. Let me just clarify a little bit in some other words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 through 29. It says, then Peter answered and said to him, this is to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say unto you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, say everyone. All right. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. If you read it in another one of the Gospels, it says in this life and inherit eternal life. You know, when I first entered ministry, vocational ministry, Lisa and I had a house. We bought a house, and that was where we went for our honeymoon. That was what we wanted. It's funny now, HGTV has a show that's all about having money for a house and lowering the amount that people spend on their honeymoon and raising the amount that they have for their down payment on their house. We did that in 78. And the truth was, we only could have the weekend off because neither of our jobs had extra time for us to take off. Nowadays, that's probably some kind of federal law against that. But you have to give them time off. But we did it on a Labor Day weekend because we had Saturday, Sunday, and we got an extra day Monday. And then I went back to work Monday afternoon, evening-ish. And Lisa went back to work on Tuesday. And we didn't get away or get a go away until, was it October of the following year? We finally went down to see her aunt and uncle. I don't remember if it was that October. No, it was a year and a month later before we went away for a honeymoon. Whatever. And I was really happy that at 21 years old, I was a homeowner. It was a good feeling. And we owned the house for about 3 years. And then I got this brilliant idea to go off and quit in January of 1980 and join a band as a full-time minister. And we made exactly nothing. Had lots of places to play. I've told it before, we drove all the way to a little place in West Virginia, Gassaway, West Virginia, where we played for a crowd of about 14 people. And they put us up for the night and gave us an offering of $12. And that did not pay for the gas from Logan, Ohio to Gassaway, West Virginia. So, yeah. But the Lord provided. He took care of us. And the day came when we finally had to sell the house, of course, because I took a church, and the church had a parsonage, and so thankfully we had the house to sell, and we sold the house and paid off some bills. And we were in ministry. We were doing what God called us to do. But I did miss being a homeowner. And by age 31... we were in Auburn, Indiana, on staff there, living in the parsonage next to the church. And I remember thinking while we were living there, I don't know if I'm ever going to own a home again. Didn't think I ever could. But God's promises are good. And when I was 32, we moved down to Bicknell, Indiana. We moved into a wonderful home that was our rented home until we could get our feet on the ground, figure out where we were, and then the Lord organized everything so that we could buy a little house right there, which had been, by the way, the house the church was meeting in. But the Lord opened up the doors for a church building that seated 150 probably, and we bought it for $13,000 because a nice old lady had it, and she didn't know what to do with it, and she wanted 20, and the church had scraped together 13, and we offered it to her, and she took it because she didn't want to go through another winter with the roof caving in. And we put a new roof on it and fixed it up and turned it into a beautiful place of worship. And the money that we got from selling the house to the hackers was the money we used to fix up the building. And the hackers had a house. And I remember thinking, wow, thank you, Lord. I got a house again. It made me feel good. Some of you have owned homes, and you know how good that feels. I'm pretty proud of young John here. He's almost got his house paid off. He's a genius. Owning a home is a good thing. How many think that is probably true? It's nice to own a home. And since that time, we have now owned 6 homes. And partly owned one in Virginia for a while. He sold it. I let him make all the money. The point of all this is to say that I'm a big fan of believers seeking first the kingdom. I totally believe that whenever we seek the kingdom, God will not fail to more than make up for anything that we may have given up, not only in the time to come, but in this time. Even if it's only in the time to come for some things, I'm willing to wait. How many of you think God can take care of us? I believe he can. And we gave up a lot. We gave up closeness of family, living 7 hours away from where everybody was to be in ministry. But God replaced it with family. And even here, we've got family, brothers and sisters and people who feel like family to us. It's wonderful. I got a bigger family than I would have ever had on my own. Kind of cool. We've had lots of stuff and lots of family. After giving up lots of stuff and lots of family, God's provided. So now I want to make one more point about what I think made it possible for me to experience all the good things that I've experienced. Because I have been blessed. I really sometimes scratch my head and wonder how we got this blessed. How this all worked out the way that it has. A lot of people would, I had somebody say it the other day. I went to do something and I was in the little truck that we bought. And somebody looked down and said, "Oh, look at the preacher with the new truck." Yeah, well, I'll say more about that in a minute. But the Lord has blessed us. Because Solomon was a kingdom-focused guy, it worked out well for him. Pretty well. God gave him lots. Lisa and I have tried to be kingdom-focused people from the beginning of our marriage. And I think it's really worked out good for us. So, I would say Solomon was pretty wise. We'd call that wisdom, the way he handled what he did. And Jesus told those of us who follow him that we could be wise also to seek the kingdom. He didn't use the word, but there you go. I think it's wise. So now consider this verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. To me, the very least of all the saints, this is Paul speaking. Does he sound at all like Solomon at all when he doesn't make himself out to be something super important? Yeah, I found that interesting too. Paul speaking, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. Everybody say, through the church. The manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to rulers and to authorities in heavenly places. Based on this scripture, how is wisdom manifest? We just all said it, through the church. Wisdom is manifest through the church. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? I wonder what that looks like. What does it look like that wisdom would be manifest through the church? Some preachers might stand up and tell you, "Well, we preachers, ha! We have the wisdom of God, ha! We can tell you what God wants you to know, don't you know, ha!" Some preachers think they're up here pouring out wisdom to everybody. Well, I'm not going to say that wisdom doesn't sometimes come out of the pulpit, or in my case, the lack of pulpit. The iPad? Well, see, I recognize that I'm not all that in a bag of chips, that I'm not the most important, like, speaker you'll ever listen to, and that wisdom is not always going to flow out of me because of anything that I have done. As I've told you before, I have preached messages and had people come up to me afterwards and say, "Wow, that was a wonderful message on, you know, The one that I remember the most was the couple of ladies who were visiting a church that I was pastoring, and I preached on faith, and they came up and told me that was the best message they ever heard on love in their life. And somehow, in spite of me, God was able, through the Spirit and the preaching of the Word, to highlight to them what they needed to hear so they could hear what they needed, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Hopefully you will know that I'm talking about wisdom today, but some of you may come up with something completely different, and that's fine. As long as Holy Spirit speaks to you, I'm good with it. I really am. Because God can work through me, and he can work through me in spite of me, or he can work totally in spite of me. He can work. God works. But God works even more, I believe, through our connection with him in the middle of our connection. There's this connection thing going on when people do this church thing. Ecclesia in the original language. And you've heard me talk about this. It's where we gather together to make things happen. So God works through our connection to him and to each other to manifest his promises and his promise provision. There have been so many times when I didn't have an idea what to do, but somebody in the church had a good idea of what to do. I leaned on Marlene the other day for a person who needed a ride, and Marlene figured it out. Because she had knowledge that I didn't have. And I couldn't do what she did. She made it happen. Saved the lady, what, $450, something like that? Yeah. And got something taken care of that she needed. Because they were going to transport her to a hospital. And it was going to cost a lot more than it would the way. Did it end up costing her anything? No. That's amazing. That's amazing. So let me give you a couple of quick testimonies, recent testimonies. And I've already kind of shared these, but I want to put them with this message and in the context of this message so that you understand how I see these things, because I don't see them as being something that I did, and I'm really glad how smart I was that I was, you know, smart enough to have these things happen. Most of you know that Lisa and I downsized in 2021, made our abode smaller. And we had been kind of thinking about it and feeling like maybe it was a good idea. And we had actually gone out and looked at a couple of houses, and we put an offer in on a house on Schultz Street. And we made kind of a low offer. This was back before houses sold instantly for whatever you put them on the market for. But so we made an offer. And they countered on Wednesday, just before we came to church on Wednesday evening for one of our soaking prayer times. And so when we have these soaking prayer times, for those of you who haven't been and don't know, we get out some cards and we put them here on this table, and we put the cards on the platform, and then whoever's here walking and praying or doing whatever, we give them an opportunity to, you know, put the cards with a prayer request on, and then I will pick up a card and walk around the room a couple of times and pray over it. And then I'll pick up another card and walk around the room a couple of times and pray over it. And so we put on the card that we were trying to figure out what God wanted us to do. That's just the way it works. And after the meeting, Beth had seen the card. And I think we said something that night too. And Beth was like, "Oh, yeah, that's my cousin's house. My late aunt lived there, and they're, you know, they're trying to get the estate all organized and sell the house." And, oh, didn't mean to hit that. Sell the house and, scratch. Sell the house and you know, I said, "Well, yeah, it's a nice house." It was a nice house, but it was just a little bit more money than we wanted to pay, and had some things that we would want to change. And I was, like, trying to figure it out. And she's just talking, and suddenly she says, "Oh, did you see the house on Laddie Street?" That's random. And I said, "What house on Laddie Street?" "The for sale by owner." Well, I'd been looking for a for sale by owner. And I couldn't find any houses that were for sale by owner hardly. And the ones we had seen were a little overpriced as well. And we just, you know, hadn't seen any. She goes, yeah, there's one on Laddie Street. And I was like, okay, we'll drive by. It's right next to the big church. Okay. She goes, yeah, I drove by there the other day. I don't know why I drove down that street. I wasn't, don't normally drive down that street. Just out of nowhere, you drove down the street. Beth's sitting right there. So she drove down that street, and so we drove down that street that evening. The snow was spitting, and we saw the sign in front of the house, and I pulled my phone up, took a picture of the house, and sent a text to the guy, and he says, I'll meet you tomorrow at 2. And I said, that'll work, because I was going to see the other house tomorrow at 1, because I was going to write down all the things I was going to have to fix and do and put a pencil to it and try to figure out how much money we would have to fix if we bought the other house. And I walked through the other house and said, thank you, and took my little list and put it in my pocket and went to the Laddie house. And when I got to the Laddie house, the guy opens the door, and I walk through, and I look at him, and I said, how much do you want? And he told me, I offered him $2,000 less than he asked for, and he said, sold, and we shook hands. That quick. Now, of all the people, to be the one to help me to find the house on Laddie, it shouldn't be the lady whose aunt lived in the other house and whose cousins are waiting for somebody to buy it so they can get their inheritance money. Shouldn't be her. It should not be her. And then I turned around and went to breakfast one day after pastor's prayer, and I'm sitting with, there's 8 of us sitting at the pancake house, and I said, oh, well, I bought a house. Oh, you did? Yeah, told them. And they said, oh, cool. So what are you going to do with the other house? One guy says, Pastor Pete, what are you going to do with the other house? I said, well, we're going to sell it, of course. He goes, how much do you want for it? And I told him. And he looked at everybody and says, okay, you all heard it here. I just bought his house. The thing is, where did I hear about the house we bought? In church. Now, I don't mean it had to be inside this building, but I heard from somebody connected to me through the things of God, through the body of Christ. I heard from that person about this house, and God, in his wisdom, had that house waiting for us because, for whatever reason, the house had not ever been put on the market with a real estate agent, and I don't know the answers to all this, but we bought that house really cheap. I'm going to tell you right up front, we bought it at a good price. I'm really happy. And then I was like, now I got 2 houses. And then we sold my house at a good price. Because I told him what it had appraised for. And he said, I'll take it. Didn't hesitate. Oh, and I was with a group of pastors. Was that church? Well, we were in the restaurant, so it's not church. No, see, church isn't where we meet. It's who we meet. Right? And the wisdom of God flowed through the fellowship of believers in such a way that God was able to bless me. I feel blessed. I'm thankful. I feel like I got what God wanted me to have. Then last October, John and I are headed through Hicksville on our way to Fort Wayne. And he says, have you heard about the new Maverick? Ford made a new Maverick. And I'm like, a Maverick? And then he says, it's a truck, and it's a hybrid. And I'm like, I'd love to have a truck, and I'd love to have a hybrid. So he says, there's one right here in Hicksville. We were on the way back, actually, weren't we? Because your car was at your workplace. So we're on our way back. He tells me about it. We swing in. It was there. I didn't see it because where he saw it when he saw it the other day, and, you know, so they had parked it in the back, but somebody was coming to get it anyway. Those things could not be found anywhere. I looked and looked and looked. I called dealerships in Toledo. I called dealerships in Lima. I called dealerships in Fort Wayne. I called Auburn. I called New Haven. I called everybody trying to see one. I just wanted to see. You know, I don't want to just see pictures on the internet. I want to see one. I want to sit in one, at least. Even if I can't test drive it. Everybody told me you can't even get in one. You can't see one. When they come in, they're already ordered and they go straight to the person. And nobody would let me buy one or see one. There was just no way to do it. And finally, one guy said, you know, you can order one. If you don't take your order, I've told you this story, then we'll give it to somebody else. Because if you just order it, we can order it. But we can't just order one for our dealership. just really weird, but dealerships are going through some stuff right now. So I went right down to Mark Motes, tried to order the thing, and found out that on December 1st, by the time I finally got around to ordering it, that I couldn't order one. They're all sold. All the 2022s were sold. Well, this must be God's way of telling me he doesn't want me to do this. By the way, the starting price on it was ridiculous. It was the same starting price of the Prius that I drive that I bought 10 years earlier. The car only cost us $5,000 more than the Prius, plus tax and title. But it really wasn't, and it's really nice compared to the Prius that's got heated seats or my wife to be warmed up in the winter. It's nice. It wasn't expensive at all, and I'm like, this would be great. So I try to order it, and the guy says, no, you can't order one. You won't be able to order one until 2022, late in the year, and this was still 2021, December 1st. And I'm like, oh, dang, well, okay, and there'll probably be more money by then. He goes, yeah, they probably will be. And then this other guy goes, wait a minute, and he walks out, and he comes back in, and he shows me the one, sets it down on the table. You can have this one. I said, what's the difference? He goes, well, it's the same truck, same package, except for it has one thing that you didn't order, and it's silver instead of the blue you were going to get, which I'm glad I didn't get the blue because John got blue, and I don't want to drive the same truck as him anyway. John got a blue Bronco. So I'm like, I'll take it. And then I waited until May to get it. But here's the thing. God worked it all out, and he used someone from the church. Someone from the church. Thanks, John. So here's what I would propose to you. The point of today's message. I believe that our connection to the church, my wife and I's connection to the church over the years, has been a huge part of our receiving so many blessings that we would not have otherwise experienced. And we can talk about spiritual experiences and all sorts of blessings and da-da-da. We can go into all sorts of things. But I believe that what we've received and what we've been blessed with is just because God said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be taken care of. I really believe that it's part of the church experience, or that it's at least supposed to be part of the church experience, not the building, you know, organizational, but we build and we organize so we can house what is really going on, which is the church, the body of Christ. You know, even our relationship started in church. My wife and I started everything in church. Some people say, well, that's because you're called to be a pastor. That's why it works for you. You know, long before I was a pastor, I was a lover of church. And it wasn't the specific building, because Lord knows us hippies met anywhere and everywhere. And I saw lots of different pretty buildings and nice buildings and lots of different music styles and lots of different things. And I always loved church. I love being part of the body. I love taking my place in his spiritual house, his spiritual building, and being built together with others. I loved celebrating with his bride. Isn't that a thought? We get to celebrate with the bride. And I would like to propose to you that this thing we call the church is the place of connection that facilitates the provision of the promises he's made to us. Let me read that to you again. This thing we call church is the place of connection that facilitates the provision of the promises made to us. Our gatherings position us to receive all that he desires for us. Our connection through those gatherings enables us to receive what he has for us. And I believe with all my heart that positioning ourselves for success is indeed the wisdom of God. Because how can I position myself any other way than the way that the wise God has designed me to be positioned. I think that we've gone through a season where some people feel like they can do okay without this. Well, it doesn't have to look exactly like this, first of all. I mean, we did this and the pews were even orange. Some of you remember the orange pews, don't you? Yeah, it didn't look pretty. But we do this, and then this becomes this powerful thing where we stay in relationship and connection and all those things. And people who don't do this, I think, do miss out on some of the wisdom of God, because there is so much that we can get from each other. So much, even when we don't agree with each other, when we butt heads with each other, when we go through stuff. That's another problem that I believe the American church may have, because it's really easy when I just don't like something, I'll just go over to someplace else. I'll zip over here and I'll zip over there and I'll be in that place and I'll be... And I think there's something to be said about being built in, mortared in to the other pieces of the spiritual house and connected. And then the things that we receive from each other, the strength and the support, is so powerful. And there's wisdom in that. And I'm thankful that we have so many people here that are connected like that, that have relationships. Some of you closer to each other than I am, and some of you closer to me. And, you know, it's not going to work any other way. I described it before as a net, you know. I'm just one knot in the net. And there's a knot this direction and a knot this direction and a knot this direction and a knot this direction, and I'm closest to those four knots. But then there's, you know, those knots are connected to other knots and it forms a network, and then the network becomes something that we all can do together to bring in an abundance as fishers of men. So I just want to encourage you with that. Those of you who are already faithful, I'm preaching to the choir. But those of you maybe watching the live stream, you live far away perhaps, but you watch our live stream, cool. But can I encourage you to get connected someplace? There's got to be someplace that's got to have somebody that can preach at least as good as this poor man does sometimes. There's got to be someplace where we can connect. And there are people that you know and you know and you know and you know and you know that used to be in church and aren't anymore, used to be connected and aren't anymore, and they're missing out on the manifest wisdom of God. See, this church thing wasn't my idea, it was God's idea. Jesus said, I will build my church. And I believe it's where he works, not just through what I'm saying, not just through whatever programs we do or worship we do, but through that interweaving of so much that God has for us. And that's the way that God can bless us. Are you saying I can't get stuff if I don't? No, people do fine getting stuff. They do, but I'm not sure they're ever happy with their stuff, because they don't always recognize who gave them the stuff, especially if God didn't give it, but they just showed how powerful they were to get it by their own abilities. Is this making sense to anybody but me? Are you glad you're church people? Yeah? Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm glad you're in church with me. Now tell them, I'm glad you're the church with me. I'm glad you're the church with me. Aren't you glad you're the church with some other people? All right. Not just coming to church, but becoming the church more and more every day.